You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Jazzed in Blue. Profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. Today, Jazzed in Blue profiles Brian Landris and his latest CD, Capsule. Stick around for more. Jazzed in Blue is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host Brian Lush and the music is out there. And today we're giving it up for baritone saxophonist and bass clarinetist Brian Landris, who has just released his latest CD, Capsule, with the help of his band, the electroacoustic quintet, Landris Kaleidoscope. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Brian Landris regarding the new release, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From the CD Capsule, here is Brian Landris and the Landris Kaleidoscope with Striped Phase. Thank you. From the CD Capsule, that was Brian Landris and the Landris Kaleidoscope with Striped Phase. Visit Brian Landris at his official website, www.brianlandris.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Brian regarding the new release and his work with the electroacoustic quintet Landris Kaleidoscope, and here's how the interview went.
Well, it's a fantastic CD you've got here. I mean, and now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the finished product?
No, I love the music, and the guys in the band are they're great friends of mine, and they were really played amazingly well on it, and I'm thrilled. I think it's a great representation of what we were going for.
I see. And how's it different from the previous release?
Well, you know, the previous one called Traverse on my label was actually much more traditional jazz based, where I was writing music at that time that I was really just kind of going for a more traditional approach in the sense of, I guess, rhythmically and harmony, harmonically, I should say, and just really with a more of a traditional vibe, even because Billy Hart was playing, and Lonnie, who's also actually playing the CD release party with me in this band. But you know, I kind of have these two different bands, which we play different styles of music. I guess, I mean, they're both improvisationally based, but it's a different. There's a much different influence in this band, in the Kaleidoscope, than there is in the quartet band.
I see. And talk about the band you record with for this CD. Tell me what it is you think each of them brought to the table that made it work.
I'll start with Rudy. Rudy Royson, the drummer, is a fantastic player, and he's the perfect guy for this recording, because we've worked in several settings that were real groove based, almost like soul influences. I always heard that in his playing, where he's an amazing drummer in all ways. I mean, traditional or, you know, whatever style you'd like to call what this record is, which is kind of hard to call some specific thing. But, you know, he's an amazing all-round player, and he loves playing groove pocket stuff like this is on this record. So he really brought an amazing energy to it. And then Michael Caine is one of my best friends, and I actually met him when I was going to New England Conservatory, and he was teaching there, and I met him there, and we just had a bond pretty much from the get-go, and he loves this kind of music as well, and we've talked extensively about how playing music me writing music that would feel good, that you can move your body to, that's really something that I feel is really important with this kind of a project, that it feels good. And he's always been a big ally of mine, and so he was, him co-producing it really helped a lot with it, because his expertise with this kind of music was amazing. So he really helped out, and he played Rhodes on most of it. He played piano also, and he actually played electric bass on one of the tracks. So he brought a lot to it. And there's Matthew Parrish playing acoustic bass on it, and Matt is a good buddy of mine that I met, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago, playing in a couple different bands. And he just has a beautiful sound, and his approach is, he's just a very solid player, and it was getting him on the thing. It was we talked a lot about him playing acoustic versus electric, and we both just decided that I wanted him and he wanted to play acoustic to round out the sound of it and just give it a larger presence than the I guess the precision of the electric can kind of take away, although you get other things with it. The roundness of the acoustic bass is what I heard and what he also heard. That leaves Nir Felder on guitar, and Nir is another guy that actually before I moved to New York, and he's like a boy wonder on guitar. He's incredible, and he's another one of the guys. All these guys, when the first time I played with them, I've always had the idea of putting this band together. When I heard him, it was like immediately, and I talked to him at the time, and I think it was about 5 years before we recorded this. So he's incredible, and he actually is one of the rare players that I know that can play with precision that's just unbelievable, and how clean he can play, and still has this round voice on his instrument where it's really. There's so much personality to it, and with the guitar he uses and his whole sound that he gets, it's something that I really love playing with. And he, going into it, I always, instead of having another horn, I wanted to use him as basically a horn in a way of playing the melodies with me, and him playing the harmonies, or I'll play the harmonies also. But really using him as a monophonic instrument with the melody. And he was great with it. And you know, and I will say, as to all the people on the recording, some of them had played together, but most of them hadn't. And they had definitely never played with this grouping before of everyone. And that was really important to me also, because to get a group sound that's unique, I kind of feel like it's really important to get guys that are obviously on the same page, yet have not necessarily played with each other, or if they have, it's, you know, like Rudy and Michael had played a lot together, and Michael and Nir had played together, but those three had never played together, and they didn't know Matthew at all. So it was really interesting seeing the chemistry and how it came together when we started rehearsing before we recorded.
And talk about how music got started for you. How did that begin?
You mean in my life from the beginning?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, I was a pretty crazy kid. I was the kind of kid that I think my parents, every time I left the house, they were worried what I was doing. Probably rightfully so, looking back, and I'm sure it'll probably come back when I have kids. That all, you know, well, I hope they're more calm than I am, maybe. But I was always crazy. I was like the daredevil always, and so I. So, you know, I found music when I was 12, and it was one of those things where I was just in the band, and I wanted to try it. My dad, was an amateur singer, and he was, it almost went professional at one point, and then decided he didn't want to do that. And then, so he actually loved saxophone, and so he suggested saxophone. And since I was such a crazy kid, I played it, but then I broke my arm, and I think it was like, I can't remember if it was two or three times in sixth grade I broke my arm doing stupid stuff. So I couldn't play, but I loved it enough that even at the end of the year when there was like the school concert, I insisted on sitting in the band, even though I couldn't play. So I was like in the concert sitting with the kids, and everybody, I'm sure, was looking at me wondering what's wrong with that kid over there, but I had a cast on and couldn't do it. So that summer I got a private teacher to kind of catch up with my friends, and his name was Frank Perry. And when Frank Perry introduced me to saxophone the real way, by showing me Coltrane and Bird and Stan Getz and just the legendary guys, and Menzo was a friend of his, so he gave me these tapes that I still have. It's so funny. And I started listening to it and just immediately fell in love with it. And I'll never forget the lesson. I can still remember being, I think I was 12 or 13, and in this little room, and I was reading the Charlie Parker Omni book, and we were playing some of the melodies and some of the music in the book, and my teacher was trying to explain to me that it was improvised. And I couldn't really wrap my head around that at first. And I kept asking him, what do you mean? You know, he was making it up. And he said, well, he was making it up. He was improvising. And then my teacher started doing that. And I just completely fell in love with that. It just really started. I ran with it. You know, began practicing hours every day.
Visit Brian Landrus at his official website, www.brianlandrus.com. From the CD capsule, here is Brian Landrus and the Landrus Kaleidoscope with Like the Wind.
Oh,
You're listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwired.com is pleased to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, the Brian Buckley Band and their mesmerizing CD, Hysterical Blindness. Not ones to be easily categorized, the Brian Buckley Band boast a sound that is both raw and haunting, as evidenced by the songs I Am Human, Cuckoo, and the first single, As If. Brian Buckley Band and their CD, Hysterical Blindness. Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at www.brianbuckleyband.com. With a new name, a new sound, and a new direction, Rebel 9 releases their debut CD, The Razorblade Diaries. Armed to the teeth with a potent combination of sturdy songcraft and pure rock and roll, Rebel 9 is set to turn the industry on its ear with songs such as San Jose, All I've Become, and Lay My Head. Just a bit. The Razorblade Diaries from Rebel 9. Visit the band at www.rebel9.com. Singer-songwriter Mark Anderson has seen all of life's ups and downs and has lived to sing about them on his latest release, Back from the Edge. Mark Anderson hits a nerve with a collection of gritty rock gems and backing from an impressive cast of musicians. With songs such as Dog on a Chain, Cat House Blues, and the electrifying first single, Truth Is, Back from the Edge will have you on the edge of your seat. Back from the Edge from Mark Anderson. Visit Mark at www.markandersonrocks.com. Put a little Rockwired on you. Rockwired.com has just relaunched its merchandise page filled with t-shirts, long-sleeved shirts, hoodies, mugs, and caps. Trust me, nothing looks better on the human body than clothing that shows your support of online radio that rocks. All shirts and jackets are available in all sizes and brought to you by Cafe Press. Visit our store at rockwired.com/merchandise.html. All major credit cards are accepted. Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwired.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com, every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music with your host Brian Lush, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. You're listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Brian Landris and the Landris Kaleidoscope and their new CD, Capsule. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Brian regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
Dan, at what point composing come into the picture?
I started writing when I was about 16. Maybe a little younger, but I it's one of those other vivid memories of a kid. And I remember I was sitting on my bed, and I just couldn't even really figure out how to write stuff down at that point, but I started penciling out this song, and it was called The Purple Inventor, and I can't remember where the hell that came from, but I remember the name of it, and I wrote it out, and tried to play with friends and realized that I needed to figure out how to write it out because it didn't work. and just slowly, I think, got into it and started listening to specific composers and then trying to, I guess, imitate them and try to figure out if I could write a song that worked in that way. And then I just really got into it. And I guess by the time I was 18 or 19, I had started a little big band. It was a non-hit. And I started writing for that band, and I led that band for, I guess, 6 or 7 years. Yeah, and just wrote, I don't know, well over 150 songs for that band. And I would try to write 2 or 3 songs a week, just arrange them, obviously, for that band. And we'd have weekly gigs, so I'd get to perform them, and it was great.
And describe the songwriting process for you. How does that happen?
You know, it really depends on, a lot of the time, even on the record, and it depends on the tune, but like on this record, on Capsule, I was using two different, I guess three different things. I would either play things on piano, I would play them on my instrument, whichever one that was at that time, and then I would also use a lot of MIDI programs and a lot of stuff where I would create a groove and then, you know, write bass lines, write, you know, the drums, drum parts, the things I had in ideas, and then write, you know, all the aspects, the chords and everything on top of it. So then I would have a sequencer playing the track, and then I'd transfer that into another computer program to help it, you know, to write it out and all that stuff. But I've done a lot of that, but a lot of the stuff, the most important thing I would say that I've got from a couple different composers was singing the melodies, and when I sing the melodies, I always have lyrics for it, and so I'll write out lyrics, and then I will sing the melodies that work with that, and I found that really filters out a lot of unnecessary notes, if that makes any sense, because you can't really... At least I don't have the chops to sing that crazy stuff, so it tends to be, I guess, more lyrical and more melodic than it would be if I didn't use that, which not every song I do that with, but every song on Capsule there were lyrics for that. I don't even know where the lyrics are now at this point. Somewhere.
And from Capsule, what songs off of it resonate for you the most and why?
I guess each one has its own thing, but there's some things, like I wrote a song called Beauty. I wrote that on my wife's birthday, and I just was just singing about her, and it was just about our love. And that one was, sometimes they just come out really fast, you know, the melodies and the changes and the bass line and all that stuff. And that was one of them, just really popped out that I'm definitely, I think came out really well. There's every song on there has significance to me. You know, the one thing I would say about writing too, that I know I've said it a couple times to people, and they kind of look at me like I'm insane, but I really don't think that if I'm really writing a song, and it turns out, I don't even, regardless if it turns out strong or not, I don't really feel like I wrote it. I feel like it's more of my job to transcribe it, and if I can get myself into that space where I'm able to hear what was, I feel like my job as a writer is more of a transposer, just to write down what was already there, and I don't know exactly where it's coming from, but I don't take responsibility for it. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but I feel like it's just, it was already there, I'm just transcribing it.
It makes sense. What would you like someone to come away with after they've heard this album?
I hope it feels good. I hope they enjoy it. And I hope they feel the love in it. This is not an album that was intended to impress or to wow, or any of the superficialness that I know that is, I mean, I've been guilty of doing stuff myself, but I don't want it to be one of those records where, I hope it isn't, where it's, where that's what it's about, as to how fast I can play or someone else can play. I just want it to feel good, and I want it to, I feel like if someone listens to the record and they're tapping their foot and it feels good and it takes them to a place they've never been, that's my goal.
Visit Brian Landris at his official website, www.brianlandris.com. Here is Brian Landris and the Landris Kaleidoscope once more with the title track of their latest CD, Capsule. To download this segment of Jazzed in Blue, simply scroll to the bottom of the page and click where it says Download Part 1.